Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. This is your host, Chris Miles here. So excited to be able to talk to you today because we're all about cash flow. We're all about how to make more money, how to find and free up cash, how to keep it, and essentially how to have a better quality of life, more freedom, more prosperity right now, not 20, 30, 40 years from now. So today I want to be able to give you an opportunity because I've noticed that I've had a lot of guests on and some amazing, amazing guests. If you haven't listened to some of these guests, some of the ones such as Dino Watt, Amy Walker, Tiffany Peterson, and Leslie Householder, if you haven't listened to some of these past shows, you definitely need to do so. There's some amazing guests. But I also realized, too, that many of you probably want to hear something from me. And so I decided to have a few weeks here that we throw in where I put in topics that I think are very useful to you, and especially that are timely at this very moment in time. And this is one that I think is very timely, something that's very important, what's coming to about whether you should refinance your house, whether you should buy a home, what kind of things should you do, or if you should do it, and how do you go about making that happen. So I want to be able to talk about this, and this is something that a lot of my clients have been asking lately, and so I figured many of you would probably get value from that as well. So in any case, really excited to talk about this today because there's a lot of good stuff coming down the pipe, and I can't tell you how many shows and episodes and topics I want to cover, and I want to cover right away. So that's the hard part sometimes about doing a weekly show is that sometimes I get all these ideas and I think, oh my goodness, that'll be great for a month or two from now. So anyways, great stuff coming up, but I'm really excited for this show because it's going to be very practical and very useful to many of you here. As always, just remember that you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. So if you haven't done so, please go to iTunes and look up the Chris Miles Money Show and subscribe to our show. Also, you can check out our site at www.moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. And you can check out other blogs, other information. There's events that we have going on. But to have an event come up here in the next few months, you'll definitely want to check out some really, really good stuff that we have going on. So definitely check us out and, further education. Take this to another level. Talk about whether you should refinance or buy your home right now. Now, this came up specifically because I've been I typically watch interest rates. I tend to watch what's going on in the markets a little bit. I tend to avoid news. Ironically, I actually don't like to watch or even listen or even read about news very often. But I do watch some of those things from time to time. And I've noticed that rates have started to come back down a little bit again. And I reached out to one of my clients. I said, hey, I know you've been thinking about refinancing right now, but I think now is definitely the time. Let's take a look at it. And as they're looking at it right now, they're realizing, oh, yeah, we can get a lower rate and be able to free up some cash flow, which is usually the key thing that we want to do. You'll hear me say this a lot, but it's not always about the interest rate. In fact, very often, the interest rate's the thing that we don't pay too much attention to when it comes to looking at cash flow instead. However, when it does come to mortgages, I am definitely more of a fan of interest rates because of the length of time that you pay. There's a big difference between a 5-year car loan and a 30-year mortgage. So in any case, you definitely want to make sure you pay attention to that. So I've watched rates drop, and I've also seen, too, that market prices have really come back up over the last few years, for the most part across the country, when it comes to home prices. And so people are asking, they're saying, well, can this keep lasting? Will it go forever? Is this a bubble? Well, it's probably not a bubble. I'll tell you that much. I have friends that definitely think there's a more pessimistic view on the market right now, and I don't have that, even though I'm one of those people that rip into the stock market especially, right? But when I see the economy, I definitely see that there's a lot of positive things still happening right now, despite a lot of negative things going on too. So it's in any case, so people ask, well, is this the time to really buy a home right now? Well, the answer is always a case-by-case basis depending on you. Is this the time for you to go buy a home right now? Is this something that really is the right time? If you're debating about it, now might be a very good time. It's nice to know that the banks are starting to get a little bit nicer. They're starting to lend out money just a little bit more. And also at the same time, you're seeing the interest rates be low, which is a very good combination. Now, this is not something to be abused. You don't want to be the person that says, okay, I can't really afford this home, but I want to get it. Don't do that, of course. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, is this really the time for you to get a home? Now, also with refinancing a home, is this the time to do it? you know, that's something to look into for sure. I know a lot of my clients, a lot of the money that we find and free up, it's not just because it's time just to refinance for the sake of refinancing, but it's refinancing with a purpose. Are we refinancing in a way that's allowing you to find and free up some cash? And by doing that, allows you to use that money more productively elsewhere. You know, one thing I'm definitely in favor of, some of the objections that people have to refinancing a home right now or ever is because there are closing costs. And that's absolutely true. You got to take that into account. But I've also seen, too, where that's not always the big thing. Some people say, oh, I'm just hitting the reset button. Or we're not really freeing up money because we're just making our length of time go longer. That's true. And in some cases, we even lower the interest at the same time. Here's the big key thing when it comes to a home and the payments that you're paying. Even though, and this, I'm speaking to those of you that usually will feel guilty about refinancing a home. If you feel guilty about refinancing a home, you're probably a saver. Not so much of the steward mentality, but more of a saver mentality. And the spenders, they don't care. They don't, half the time, they don't even look at their mortgage. And if they do, they don't mind refinancing it to free up more money because they want to spend it and blow it. I'm not recommending that course of action. But what I am recommending is that you do find other ways, creative ways to free up cash. If you can refinance a home and free up that money, here's what happens. One, if the interest rate's the same or less, you're in a better position most likely. Here's why. Even if you were to lower your payment by a few hundred dollars a month, what says that you couldn't always go make that same payment to your mortgage? If the interest rate's the same or even less, if you make that same payment, you'll pay it off either in the same amount of time or even faster amount of time than you would have otherwise. Now, that's even considering closing costs too. And so people would say, oh, I'm just lengthening out my period of time that I'm paying it. Yes, absolutely. But here's the key factor. You hear me say this all the time. When you free up cash flow, when there's more cash flow, you create more options. There's more choice. There's more ways to, more paths you can create in case something, one path gets closed down on you. If one door shuts, you always know there's other doors to open. When you create more options for yourself, you create real financial freedom. What happens is so many people will do the opposite. They'll end up refinancing their home to a 15-year mortgage instead. They'll raise the payment. And in the bank side, that's actually a risky thing to do. Because what if you can't keep making those payments? And even if the payment lessens a little bit, even with a 15-year, that's good, that's better, but it may not be best for you. You know, one thing that people always think of is, oh man, just imagine what it'd be like when this home is paid off in 7 to 10 years or 15 or 20 years. They always look forward to that day. But they forget about the days in between when something could go wrong. What if you were to lose your job? What if you have some sort of income crisis in your business? What if you end up having expenses go up unknowingly? What if there's some medical things that come up, whether for yourself or your family member, that makes it really difficult for you to be able to make ends meet each month? Do you really want a high payment on your mortgage? Well, of course not. You don't want that. That's where you'll lose your house faster, right? And so we want to go for cash flow. We want to be able to get the lowest payment possible on our mortgage and then find ways to be able to pay it off faster. Now, the key thing is this, is that when you pay extra to your mortgage, you're not any more financially secure. I want you to know that I'm not a fan at all of paying extra to your mortgage. You know, I don't mind having equity in the mortgage, but the problem is that when you have money trapped in a home, you can't get it out, or not very easily. You have to ask for permission from the bank to even get money out. This happened to me back in 2007. I put a bunch of equity and things into my home that we had built. It was a nice little show home. I shouldn't say little. It was pretty big, actually. But times got a little bit tight at the end of 2007 going into 2008. And so I remember going to the bank saying, hey, is there a way we can refinance this? Can we, you know, get money out? Because we're having some tight months, and there's over $150,000 of equity. Can we get it out? And the bank said no. They said, no, absolutely not. And this, of course, during the credit crisis happening, they said, no, sorry, we're not giving out loans, especially if you're a business owner. We don't like you. So I ended up not being able to get that money out. And that really created a big cash crunch. So even though I had a lot of money that I had in cash that I put into the property, believing I could get it out at some point, I couldn't get it out. And so if you're going to build equity for a home, I'd rather have you build it outside of the home to do that. Now, the trick is, how do you make that happen, right? How do you keep money outside of your home but not get killed in interest on your mortgage? Well, you still make your minimum mortgage payments. You're still paying it down. And I won't get to it too much in this episode. I might do a future episode. But if you're at least earning at minimum at least half of whatever the interest rate is. So if your interest rate on the home is 4.25%, if you're making at least a little over 2%, you're going to be able to beat it by saving that difference into your savings. And so there's a whole thing versus compound simple interest that I haven't mentioned here, but you know, we'll probably talk about it in a future episode. So that's what you want to consider, is how can we make that work? And so I'd rather have you keep it in some sort of savings. It could be something as simple, you know, we mentioned other things such as, you know, maybe a savings or a CD. That's always a possibility. You know, you could also keep it in things like life insurance, where it grows tax-free and earns a better return than the mortgage anyways. You know, things like that. If you do it right, you know, you have to be careful, because most of the ways that insurance agents do whole life insurance, it's not a good way. And universal life is usually not a good option for storing home equity. Not a good option at all. So anyways, so there are ways to do that. But that's not totally the point of this episode, but I want to kind of paint this picture in context of, when you're thinking about refinancing or buying a home, you know, don't always just look at how fast you're going to pay it off, because that could actually put you in a worse position. Being committed to higher payments is not always a good thing. Now, how do you go about qualifying? What is it that the bank looks for? You know, and as I like to say, how do you look sexy to a bank, right? How do you look in a way that the bank says, I want to give you a loan and I want to give you the best interest rate possible? So there's really three key factors you want to look at here. One is your credit score. Two is your cash reserves. And then three is your debt-to-income ratio. So let's talk about these three right now. And let's talk about credit score, because that's the obvious one that everybody always thinks of when they think about qualifying for a loan. Just so you know, a credit score does not guarantee you'll get a loan, even having a good one. I've seen people with 800 credit scores get denied a loan. And the reason being is because the other two factors weren't taken into account very well. And so just a good credit score does not mean that you're going to get qualified for a mortgage, especially. So let's look at that. Let's look at what a credit score is, though. Let's look at what they do accept. So a credit score, typically, if you have at least a 680 credit score, you're going to get a decent mortgage, or you have more options for a mortgage. Now, the ideal score is at least a 740 or a 760. If you can get at least to a 740 or so, you're probably going to get about the best rate you can possibly get, considering the situation. There are some other variables, but that's usually the best thing, credit score-wise, that you can do. If you get at least a 740 credit score, they're going to like you. Now, if you're lower than a 680, for example, it doesn't mean you can't get one. There are options out there, but you're probably going to be paying a higher interest rate. If you're really low, you might have a really hard time getting a mortgage. But it depends on the other two factors that we're talking about here of whether or not they'll probably give you the loan. So really look at that credit score. That is an important thing. A great place to look up your credit score and not hurt your credit. I don't recommend you go to a bank and have them pull your credit, because that could look bad. And it can put a little, you know, could knock off a few points in your credit score every time you go and you do a pull. So you could do what they call as a soft pull, which is usually just an inquiry of looking at what your credit score is. A good resource, a good site you can go to be able to get the different bureaus, because there's three different bureaus you can pull from, you can go to myfico.com. That's M-Y-F as in Foxtrot, I-C-O.com, myfico.com. If you go there, you can actually go and pull your credit scores. You can see what's going on with it. You can see what it reads. Doesn't mean that's exactly what the bank's going to see, but it's going to be pretty close to that score. And notice that's much more accurate than some of those other free sites. You do have to pay a charge for this. I do not recommend going for their promotions where it says for $1 or $5 or whatever, you can pull your credit scores in as much as you join this monthly membership. You know, I don't recommend you necessarily go for the monthly membership, but I go for the one-time pull, which is typically about $19.95 per bureau. So you can pull two of those. You can pull three, however you want to do it. I think it's worthwhile to do that, because when you're qualifying for a home, they're going to look at the middle score. So you'll have three different scores. You have a high, a low, and a middle score. And depending on the bureau, it could vary. It could be anywhere, and it could be any of those bureaus. So typically, you want to work on at least improving two scores, because at least that means you'll be working on either the lower, the higher, and or the middle, right? And so definitely working on those can help out a ton. So really looking at pulling those scores will be a great resource for you. So that's the one thing, is looking at credit score. Again, a 680 or higher, but preferably a 740 or higher is going to be good. And by the way, if you see a credit score around a 738, you might want to wait a month or so and try to get that score up. Oh, cool thing on myfico.com, they have little credit simulators that say, hey, after so many months, what will my score look like if I've paid my bills on time? Or what will my score look like if I got a new credit card or a new car loan? Or what if I paid off something or paid something down? It can give you that score simulator to kind of give you a guess of what that would look like. Really cool. It gives you a lot of things to do. And if there's a mistake on your credit report, you find a mistake, not a problem. They have a place where you can actually go and dispute those mistakes. And that could also help improve your score too. Ooh, quick little bonus tip. If you're ever looking to get better credit, maybe you're looking to have better history, look at your spouse and see if they have a card or something like that, or it might be a family member. You can actually say, hey, you've had good credit history for a long time. Can I be a co-borrower on that loan or on that credit card? And what's cool is I actually did that once to help increase my credit score. I had my father, he had a credit card. I said, hey, if I can just be a co-borrower on that credit card, send the credit card to your address. I don't even want it. Tear it up. I don't care. I just want to be able to write your credit history on that particular credit card, which had a credit history since like the early 1990s. And he was worried that it might hurt his score. I said, nope, it doesn't affect your score at all. Don't worry. And so I did. And actually the cool thing was, because it had good credit history and it had a low balance on it, it actually jumped up my credit score by 23 points in 1 month. Really cool. So there's a little bonus for you. There are some ways you can jump up your credit score. Maybe I should save that one for another episode too, huh? So anyways, lots of things you can do to improve your credit score. The second thing is cash reserves. Do you have enough money in reserves to keep making payments for at least 6 to 12 months? So if your new mortgage payment would be $2,000 a month, that means do you have at least $12,000 to $24,000 in cash savings that's been sitting there for at least the last 2 or 3 months. If not, the bank is a little bit more nervous. It doesn't make it impossible, but think about it from a bank's perspective. They want to see that you're secure, that you're a good investment. If you can't keep making payments in case there's a loss of income, in case there's some surprises in life, because, you know, surprises in life never happen, right? If anything like that happens, they want to be able to know that you can keep making payments. And so having those cash reserves are key. You need to make sure you have that. And you want to make sure they're liquid cash reserves. For example, having cash reserves in an IRA or a 401k does not necessarily mean you have cash reserves in their eyes, that you might still get denied for a loan, even though you might have a couple hundred thousand dollars sitting in a 401k. That does not work. Having money in actual cash savings, or like in whole life insurance or some other life insurance savings, actually helps. Somewhere they can see they can get to it, money market accounts, things like that. Somewhere where you can get to the money easily, they want to be able to see that, because that's where the real emergency fund comes into play. And this is also why I teach about having an emergency fund, and sometimes that's more important than paying down that credit card. And so, for example, some people try paying down that credit card in order to improve their credit score or maybe improve their debt-to-income ratio, and that could be important. What if the bank doesn't care? What if you're in the clear there? You know, and I just have this happen with a client recently where they were putting an extra $1,000 a month down on the credit card balances and paying them off really fast, or they were really paying them down. And then we were talking about it, and we're talking about doing a refinance here pretty soon. And we realized, I said, no, when we look at your situation, you got a decent, you know, you got a decent credit score. You've been paying down some really good credit cards. In fact, your debt to income ratio is probably okay. Your biggest thing now is just the cash savings. You don't have enough savings saved up yet. So I said, let's start focusing on that for the next couple months and building up your savings. So now we're redirecting all their money. There's about $2,000 or $3,000 a month they have going straight to savings right now to build that up. And I'll tell you, not only does it build it up for the bank's peace of mind, but it's also building up for their own peace of mind too. They've actually noticed that they're feeling more peace doing that than paying down a credit card, which really paying down an extra $1,000 a month on their credit card is only freeing up about, you know, $20 a month or so. So even though they don't mind the $20 or $25 a month they're freeing up, you know, that's lowering on the payment, still, it's not nearly as much as saying, hey, I have an extra few thousand in savings. I can keep making a couple $100 a month payment on a credit card. And so there's a lot of peace of mind that goes with that too. So that's the second one, is having cash reserves. Banks always look at you as being an investment. Do you have enough money in savings that they know they can fall back on? Now, the third thing, this is one that most people don't realize, but it's a big deal, is your debt-to-income ratio. And what this means is this, is how much are your minimum monthly payments on your loans compared to your gross monthly income? Now, if you're working a job, they're looking at your gross paycheck, not your net paycheck, not your take-home pay. They're looking at your overall pay, right? Now, if you're a business owner, they're going to be looking at your tax returns and comparing that income to your monthly loan payments. This is why having a good CPA is important. I've been dealing with a really interesting situation right now with one of my clients where essentially if they had just tried to do this on their own, they probably would have given up on the refinance altogether because they just wouldn't be able to get it. And we said, no, we know we can make this work, especially as I coordinate with my whole team. Because what I do with my business is I not only work as the master planner and the person that strategizes the whole plan, the whole big picture, making everything work together, but I have a team to help me implement that too. So I've got like people like CPAs on my team. I've got attorneys. I've got insurance and investment people, mortgage brokers. I've got, merchant account services in case people are overpaying on their fees in their business. And a number of other people too that really help me in adding value to people. Anything that deals with money and business, pretty much whether it's personal or business, I've got somebody on my team to help with that area. And so we're trying to work on a refinance because this would actually free up $1,000 a month. And so we said, all right, let's see what we can do here. Well, the problem they ran into is they said, all right, credit scores look pretty good. They're decent. So we can do that. There's even a little bit of cash reserves, not bad. But then they looked at everything else and said, ugh, but, the one thing that we're running into here is your income on your taxes shows that you didn't even make money last year. Even though your business made $250,000, it shows on your tax return that you made negative $21,000. So essentially, you didn't even make money. You only lost money. You didn't take home anything according to your tax return. Kind of impossible to get a loan when you show no income or show negative income, right? So it was really bad. Crazy thing is when I had my CPA look at it, he said, boy, your accountant's an idiot, which is pretty much the case with everybody I've noticed. Almost anybody we've met with, their accountants miss a lot of things. Usually the people think they have the best ones. They're like, no, my accountant's really good. Came highly referred. Yep, I'll tell you, we've saved somebody $100,000 that had Mel Gibson's accountant. Trust me. It doesn't mean that they're awesome. So anyways, my CPA looked at it and he said, here's the deal. You could actually show about $50,000 total of income. So we can change your income by about $75,000 from this previous return and you'll pay no extra tax. And they're saying, oh my gosh, really? He's like, yeah, he just put it in a dumb category. He didn't even have to do that. There's ways to show income without it being taxed. Not all of the income. And that's what we found out when he realized that, okay, well, what does it take for this loan to really work? He looked at it and he talked to the mortgage broker. The mortgage broker said, well, hey, for their debt-to-income ratio, because of what their loan payments are looking like, even though we're going to consolidate and pay off some loans, and between all that and the refinance, free up about $1,000 a month, he said, yeah, they need to show a little bit more income than $50,000. And so my CPA looked at the numbers. He said, all right, okay, here we go. All right, well, here's what we could justify here. So we're gonna have them amend the returns. They're going to pay them a little bit more in tax, about $4,000 more in tax, but they're now going to show about $75,000 of income, and they're going to be able to get this loan. And so they did. So now they're qualifying for the loan and going through the process right now. And made it work really well. Cool thing is I had my health insurance agent also work on the case to make sure that they're not paying, too much on the health insurance side because of, how their income was stated versus what they're going to have to, pay with the good old Obamacare out there right now. So luckily their cash flow didn't have to increase or decrease paying more expenses on the health insurance either. So it was a really cool kind of situation of coordination there. But the biggest thing that got in the way was debt-to-income ratios. And especially when you're a business owner, many accountants will just say, well, if I want to save you tax, let's, contribute to that IRA. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this to lower your actual taxable income. We don't want that to be the case. We want to show higher income in many cases. And so make sure you're coordinating well with the CPA as well as with the mortgage broker when you're doing this kind of stuff. So that's a big one. So debt to income ratios, what do they usually want? Well, let's look at like this. Let's just say that your net income, whether you're work for an employer or whether you're a business owner, your gross income shows $60,000 a year. That's $5,000 a month. Now, typically, they don't want to see a mortgage payment be more than about 28% of your income. So if you're making $5,000 a month, they usually don't want to see your mortgage being much higher than $1,400 a month. That's it. Not a ton, but that's still, it's okay. That's, you're probably in the $250,000 range for a home, somewhere in that ballpark, depending on how you finance it. Somewhere pretty close to that. So you don't want much more than $1,400 a month, or they start getting nervous. They don't like how that feels. Now, there's also what they call a back-end ratio, which means is that what is your debt-to-income ratio if you throw in all your other your loan payments too, credit cards, car loans, installment loans, student loans, you name it, with the monthly payments, those minimum monthly payments, what does it come out to be? And so they look at that. They usually don't want that to be over 42%. Now, granted, some people are a little bit more flexible on both of these numbers. Some want stricter guidelines. Some of them don't want it that high. Some of them are allowing it to go a little higher. But typically, 42% is kind of like right there in the middle. So what does that mean? If you make $5,000 a month, that means they don't want the monthly payments on this to be more than $2,100 a month between your mortgage and all your payments combined. So if you're looking to see how they would look at your situation, that you just look at your situation like this, like, hey, what are my total monthly payments that are showing up on my credit report? And there might be things you might have to do. If you're married, you might try to put it in one spouse's name versus the other, especially someone who makes more of the income or maybe has less of the loans in their name, things like that. There's ways to strategize this to make it work. But overall, looking at it saying, all right, how, you know, what is this going to look like? What are going to be my total monthly payments? Will this be acceptable? Will they like it? And for some of you, it might be a little bit questionable. You know, I've had a lot of cases where, I've had some cases where the income is no problem, but credit scores are bad, right? Or, you know, so the debt and income ratios are no problem, but they don't have savings. I actually have that situation right now with someone who's, we're now getting past that, but they had a lack of savings, which made the banks a little bit more nervous because even though they made several hundred thousand a year, there's no savings, no liquid savings there. They just had a 401k, things like that. So you really got to look at that from a debt-to-income ratio standpoint of, all right, what is it here that we need to get rid of? You know, do we need to lower some payments? Do we need to, do we need to wait a few more months and refinance some other loans? You know, maybe there's a car loan you could refinance to a lower payment and make yourself better qualified in another 90 days. Speaking of which, if you got a loan you're trying to qualify for, and you try to refinance or do something else or apply for a loan, wait at least 90 days before you try to apply for a new loan. And when you're applying for a mortgage, whether you're trying to buy a home or refinance, do not apply for any credit while you're refinancing. That can completely kill the deal because it'll make it look like you're just trying to get more money and that you're not responsible. So don't do that either. So that's a key thing. So look at your debt-to-income ratio. So three areas, credit score, cash reserve, and then your debt-to-income ratio. If you can get your credit score to, especially if you can get to a 740 or higher, you're going to get peak interest rates. If you can also have liquid cash reserves and savings that could cover at least 6 months worth of payments of your mortgage payments, that's also going to be a huge plus. And if your debt-to-income ratio is under control where the mortgage payment won't be more than 28% and your total payments won't be more than 42% of your income, now you're talking. Now you've got some real potential. It's going to be you're going to get probably the best rate. So it doesn't mean you can't get it if you can't meet all these qualifications. I'm just telling you that from a bank's perspective, you want to have these three things under control. If you do that, the bank will love you. It will be much smoother. It won't be as hard of a process, and you'll have a lot more fun doing it. And you can free up a lot of cash doing it. And I've told you, I've had so many people that because we were able to make this happen, I've had one couple that they had a banker forget about a year or two later, they're able to get into a home, their own home again, and be much more responsible the second time. I've had couples where they thought retirement or even just financial freedom wasn't even possible, and they're getting into their 60s, and then we free up $2,000 a month doing something like this. I mean, there's so many cool things that happen if you refinance or you even buy in a new home. So anyways, hope this helps. I hope this is of great value to you. Be sure, you want to make sure you're tuning in this month and for the next coming weeks. There are a lot of great guests coming up, a lot of great topics, very cool people and great topics that I know that I love and that you're going to get a lot of value from. So I just want to remind you that it's all about cash flow because cash flow creates options and options create freedom. So anyways, this is Chris Miles here on the Chris Miles Money Show. I want to be able to wish you a great, prosperous week because I know that through great prosperity, it creates great freedom. And this is all what it's about. It's all about that freedom. go make a great week.